You know, as they were singing, I'm thinking, the world didn't do much to welcome the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They really didn't do much. But the angels rejoiced. They knew what we had in Jesus Christ. We're thankful this morning for that carol. And we're going to look at that this morning in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. By the way, there's still time to invite people tonight and tomorrow night to the Living Christmas Tree. I hope you'll do that. You know, we live in a very different age than we did just even 10 or 15 years ago, in that I find that people will only come to things if it's convenient, if they have time, if it's nothing else interfering with their schedule. And so if you nail them this afternoon, they'll have to make up a lie to get out of coming tonight. You know, so put them on the spot and encourage them and say, listen, you're not doing anything tonight. Why don't you come with us to church or come tomorrow night? And I think it'd be a real blessing to them. And anybody that was here last night, I think they really enjoyed it. And it was a blessing. And I was thinking of that song, Look to the Lamb of God, that the choir sang a cappella. And you could hear a pin drop in the auditorium when they began to sing that. And I just thought it was haunting, in a sense. Chill went up my spine. It was such a wonderful feeling in the church to know that people were thinking on that message and listening to that we must look to the Lamb of God. Luke chapter 2 is our scripture this morning. You know, as we think of Christmas time and we think of this season, you know, if you look at the Word of God, there's a lot of things that happened for the first time. You ever thought about that? It was the first time ever that somebody was found with child of the Holy Ghost. It's never happened before that, never happened since, never will happen again. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that prophecy in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. It was the first time that a child was to be born, and he wasn't just to be born king, but he was to be born the King of Kings. He was born the prophet, the priest, and king. And so the things that we look at that happened for the first time, to my knowledge, and of course we only have what is recorded in the Word of God for us. But to my knowledge, it's the first time, and I believe it's the last time, I believe it's the only time that angels ever proclaimed a birth. I think that's a wonderful thing as well. And though we wonder about lowly shepherds approaching that manger and being the only ones to come and greet Mary and Joseph, and we talk about the wise men, and often we see manger scenes assembled with wise men in them, but the Bible says they came and saw the young child in his house. It was a couple years later, perhaps, that they actually found the young Jesus. And so it was only these shepherds that came, and perhaps some other travelers that had come to Bethlehem to be taxed with Mary and Joseph. And maybe there were some sleeping in the corners of that stable, and maybe some in the inn that could hear the screaming of a young girl giving birth and wondering, what's keeping me up all night? But it was the first for all these things to happen in history. But you know, another thing I want to think about this morning as we look at the scripture, we find in the Word of God this morning the very first Christmas carol. The angels burst forth suddenly, the Bible says, and they began to sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As the angels sang and proclaimed, the glory of the Lord is what our subject is today, as we look at how excited the angels became and how they began to sing glory to God in the highest, and not just glory to God, but in the highest. They reserved this highest form of praise for the moment that God laid aside His glory and became a child in the manger. You know, as I think about the excitement of the angels, and by the way, the angels were excited about this because of the salvation that had now come to the earth through Jesus Christ, but angels know not salvation. And yet they were excited. I mean, that is instructive to us, and it ought to be convicting to us to think that we who know salvation, we who know Jesus Christ and understand that Jesus Christ came that He might one day shed His blood on a Roman cross to pay the price for our sins, we that know that and have accepted it by faith, we ought to be much more excited than the angels ever could be. For we understand what that means. Look at the verse with me this morning, if you will, in Luke chapter 2. And in verse 13, the Bible says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, help us in this next few minutes, Lord, to direct our attention to this carol that the angels sing. And Father, as we look upon it and are reminded of the content of their song, the content of their message, may we understand, Lord, that we must understand it even better than they. For we are true heirs of salvation. And Father, when Christ came to offer peace on earth for those that would come to Him in faith, Lord, it is we who are benefiting from that. And God, I really believe today that it's a shame that the angels rejoice and the people of God remain silent. And so God, stir our hearts to give You glory in the highest. Stir our hearts to give You the praise and the honor that You are worthy. For God, You are so good to us. And Lord, we will thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I can remember Christmas morning, like many of you can. We had some fun the other night on Tuesday night. The teenagers' class had a Christmas dinner together, and my wife and I were invited, and it was such a blessing to be there. And some were sharing their thoughts about the first Christmas they could remember. And you know, it wasn't all exciting. Some of them had some pretty harsh memories. The teenagers, some of them, of course, came just after the Depression and things like that. And so they can remember Christmases that were difficult, but they said we were happy. We were glad to have what we did have, and God had blessed them. And so they were beginning to share some of those thoughts. And I began to think back, and I remembered some things about Christmases in our family. And I can remember many times getting up at 2 and 3 in the morning and knocking on mom and dad's door. Is it time to get up? And then no, go back to bed. And there just seemed like something magical about the clock ticking that next hour. And we had one of those old clocks in our living room. It's still there. My mom's, if you're ever there, and it chimed every hour. Didn't matter if it was day or night. And so we would kind of doze off half asleep, but never really able to fall asleep. And the next thing you know, you'd hear it chime 4 times. So there's something magical about that that told us, well, it's no longer 3 something, it's now 4 something, and we might as well just go ahead and get up, and then we knock on the door again, and no, go back to bed. And then we wait till it chimed 5 times. And some of you are nodding because you've had kids and you understand what I'm talking about. I remember there was times where finally my mom would have to wake us up sitting in that doorway. And you know, we'd go and we'd run out there and there'd be excitement and we'd tear open our gifts and we'd get so excited about that. And really, you know, I got thinking about that and realized we got more excited about the gifts than we did the giver of the gifts. You know, really that's what Christ wants from us today. He has given us so many gifts, but He wants us to desire the giver. Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. One of my favorite Bible verses in Scripture is Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's a wonderful thought. Because it's easy to help people and love people and encourage people that do right. That are trying to do right. But it's a whole other thing for God to look down upon an earth and say, I love you. Even though my love for you is going to cost me the life of my son, I'm going to love you anyway. Even though your sin is an abomination before me. Even though your sin is an affront to everything I've done for you, I'm going to love you anyway. It's just a wonderful story of Christmas. As we look at the Scripture this morning, I want you to notice some things that the angels sang. The Bible says in verse 14, the Bible says, and they said, glory to God in the highest. I want you to notice the subject of their carol. First of all, in verse 10, the Bible says, and the angels said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angel came and he stood up in the clouds of heaven and he proclaimed to the earth, a Savior is born. I bring you good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born. One that has come to redeem His people from their sins. One that has come to shed His blood and pay the price and the penalty for sin. And because this one has come, this child has come, that will be our Savior, they sang glory to God in the highest. You know, we throw words around a lot, don't we, that tend to lose meaning because we use them so much. And I guess I was teasing Brother Walsh not long ago. Brother Walsh likes to use the word awesome. Awesome. How many of you heard him say that? Everybody has. And I was teasing him, you know, about saying awesome. And so we'll walk down the hall and I'll look at him and say, Brother Walsh, you're awesome today. You know, and we just tease him a little bit about that. But you know, we tend to do that, don't we? And we talk about things being, oh, this is just the greatest. You know, somebody I really like being around is a friend of mine, Pastor Clayton. He's good friends with Mr. and Mrs. Dorkson. You can attest to this. Any meal that you eat with Pastor Clayton, this is the best roast beef I've ever had. Didn't you like that? Or this is the best hamburger I've ever eaten. And you know, I got thinking about that. I kind of appreciate that because he's thankful for what he has right in front of him right then. Doesn't matter what happened before, I'm thankful for what I have right now. But sometimes we throw away that word around those words that this is just awesome or this is the greatest. You know, I don't believe the angels did that. When they said glory to God in the highest, I believe what they were doing was they were reserving their highest praise for this very moment. Think about that though. They said glory to God in the highest. This is the most praise we can give Him. This is the most glory we can give Him. And these angels got to see God speak the worlds into existence. Can you imagine that? God said, let there be light. And the angels waited with bated breath as the light sun popped into the sky. The Bible says He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The angels saw all of that. He saw Him separate the water from the land, and He saw Him create night and day. He saw as He placed Adam in the Garden of Eden and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The angels observed all that God had ever done up to this point. They watched Him as He prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. They watched Him as He sent a great destructive flood upon all the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Prepared that great ark and saved Noah and his family alive. A preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. The angels have deserved all those things, but they reserved their greatest praise for this moment. That ought to be instructive to us, shouldn't it? To think that this time of Christmas, this time, you say, well, I don't know if Christ came on December 25th. It doesn't matter, friend. Christ came. You can pick any date you want. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you, you ought to be thanking God that He came every day of the year. We ought to be giving glory to God in the highest that God had this thought in eternity past that when man sins, I will send a Redeemer, I will send a Savior, I will send my Son to die for them. That ought to give us pause for a moment to give Him praise and thanks today. The angels did, who know nothing of salvation other than it was offered to us. Salvation brought glory to God in the highest. Now think about this. Can God do anything more than offer His Son? How many of you have ever heard somebody who is bitter say, what has God done for me lately? Where is God? Can God do anything greater than give you His Son? Absolutely not. And that's why the angels said, glory to God in the highest. Then they said, peace, goodwill toward men. Do you know up until now, we had thousands of years of unrest. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, before the devil fell from the splendors of heaven, all they knew was peace. Can you imagine the privilege that Adam and Eve had walking in the cool of the garden with God and talking to Him like He was a man? How many of you would long for that fellowship? To be able to know God face to face, and when you have a problem, being able to go to Him just like He was your earthly father, saying, what do I do now? And having the peace that knowing whatever advice He gives to you is absolutely perfect. But they blew it, didn't they? They sinned. They fell. And from the moment they fell, there had been no peace on earth. You know, a lot of people will say, boy, if I read that Old Testament, all I see is blood and war. That's not because of God. That's because of sin. Why is there so much war in the world? Why is there so much hatred in the world? That's not because of God. That's because of the absence of God. That's because people have taken God and put Him on a shelf somewhere. I don't know who it was, but shortly after 9/11, the question was asked publicly, where is God in all of this? And somebody wisely answered, our God is a gentleman. You've asked Him to leave the schools when you wouldn't pray anymore. You've taken Him out of the courthouses when you would no longer have the Ten Commandments posted. You've asked Him to get out of your daily life, and our God is a gentleman. So He stepped aside and let you have your way. All that happens in our world is not because of God, it's because of the absence of God. It's because we've asked Him to leave, not because He's deserted us, but because we've asked Him to step aside. But God, with His Son Jesus Christ, has promised peace. Well, we could use a little peace, couldn't we? But it only comes from knowing Jesus Christ. The angels proclaim that glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. If you want to know peace today, you must know Jesus Christ. I believe that's what the angels were proclaiming when they stood up there in those clouds and they began to sing glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, that they were saying that if you'll just follow this Messiah, if you'll just put your faith and trust in this Christ, the Savior of the world, you can know peace. But you'll have no peace without knowing Christ. You know, as we see the Scriptures unfold before us, we find some instructive thoughts that these angels were excited about what God was doing. And friends, we need to be excited as well. I am afraid today that a lost and dying world will never hear because the church has remained silent. The children of God have not proclaimed this message. Can you imagine? You would say, well, you know, if the angels were to come into the sky today, maybe Simcoe would be converted. Friends, you know that the word angel just simply means messenger. And we are all to be messengers of this message. We are to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into a lost and dying world and proclaim Jesus is the Savior. You know, I really believe that people understand their need of a Savior. I really believe that. I think they understand that they're sinners and they're lost and the devil's got them deceived and that they believe that there's some way they can work their way to heaven. If I'm just good enough, I'll go. Then why did Christ die? If any of us could be good enough, why did Jesus go to a cross? If there were many paths to heaven, as some would say, would God ever allow His Son to take upon Himself our sins and be nailed to a Roman cross? I don't believe He would. If your child was suffering or sick and you had options other than letting them die, would you take them? Absolutely. You would exhaust every resource. You would sell your home. You'd do whatever it would take to raise the money and you would put it towards saving that child's life. You would exhaust every option. But in Christ's case, there was no option. A blood sacrifice was required. And Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, came and paid the price that you might have peace. But it only comes from knowing Jesus. I want you to notice not only did salvation bring the glory to God in the highest, or salvation bring peace, but it also bring goodwill toward men. The psalmist wrote, the Lord is good. Philosophers often conclude that God must be good, but God declared it when He sent His Son. That the will of God was revealed to man and He sent goodwill toward men. We often read that verse and we think that because Christ came, that man will love one another. That's not what the verse is saying. I believe it's expressing that God is giving His goodwill to us. That He is placing upon us His goodwill. In other words, God has a will for your life and it's good. And if we will just trust Him and believe in Him and put our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, we will find that the will of God is good and perfect and acceptable, as it says in Romans 12:2. We must trust Him today. You know, there are some here today that are obviously saved. I believe most probably are saved. Know Christ as Savior. You made that decision to follow Christ many years ago. But let me ask you, have you followed His perfect will for your life? Do you understand that His will is good? That He has a plan for your life? Somebody in the church handed me a testimony last week of somebody else in the church and shared it with me. They'd handwritten it out, and I don't want to embarrass anybody today. But in the future, if I have permission, I may be able to read it to you. It was such a wonderful blessing to read this testimony. And the gist of it all is when I realized that God had a plan for my life, and I began to trust Him and follow His plan, that's when God began to bless me. I mean, that's almost word for word what they wrote in their testimony. I thought, what a wonderful blessing to understand that God has given us His goodwill. That He has a plan for our lives, that He wants to bless us, but it all goes through Jesus Christ. It all has to do with salvation. There are some instructive thoughts here that we must understand, that we must give glory to God, that we must proclaim His peace and understand His goodwill. But you know, there's some emotional thoughts here as well. I believe that these angels came with joy and gladness. Look what the Scripture says. And in verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." How many of you think they just came out in a monotone voice and did that? I don't think so. The word "suddenly" indicates to me that those angels were just being held back. That they couldn't wait to burst on the scene. And as soon as the angel finished his message, the Bible says they burst out singing, "Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Oh friend, we got to get excited about some things. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. Well, that's exciting. Amen? Good night. That was the anthem of our church through the 80s and 90s, wasn't it? Saved! Saved! Well, that gets my blood pumping. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Come on! The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest for His salvation." And we're like, at Calvary, what time's the pot roast done? Holy folks, our faces ought to follow the message that we're singing to the Lord. I don't imagine when we get to heaven, how many of you really want to get up to the throne? Amen. That's what I want to get there. I want to see that. I want to be there. How many of you have ever heard of the evangelist? His name is Steve Allen. Not the guy from the old Tonight Show, but Steve Allen, the preacher. And he's totally blind. He's blind from birth. And that excites him. Because he said, "The first face I'll see is Jesus." I thought that's a pretty good outlook. Amen. But he said this about heaven. He was preaching one night on John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." And he talked about the mansions, "And my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And so he was preaching on that passage. And he said this, he says, if you come and looking for me at my mansion, he says, the way to find my mansion is the one with the vacancy sign on it. He says, because I'm going to be down at the throne. He says, "You can go ahead and give me a mansion." He says, but he says, "I'm going to be down at the throne room. I want to be up there praising Jesus and singing to the Lord." And he says, "I'm going to have a smile wide as my ears. I'm going to grin ear to ear," he said. I got thinking about that when he was preaching that night. And I thought, what about the good old you name it Baptist church that says victory in Jesus? I don't know if they're going to be led up at the front. I don't know that Jesus wants to watch that. I think He wants some joy. He said, "Well, that's different. That's heaven, preacher." Oh, why wait till then? Why not sing His praises now? Why not get excited about something now? Amen. The angels, I believe, they came with joy and gladness. I think those shepherds were treated to a concert that night like has never been heard before. And will never be heard until you get to heaven again. But Lord, we ought to have a taste of it on earth, shouldn't we? Just a little bit. I sat right back there last night. Listen to the choir, and boy, that was good. I enjoyed hearing the songs. You say, well, what about on that one song where they, there's one. Doesn't matter. They were singing the message of God. They're not angels. They're going to make mistakes. We're going to stumble over our words. The narrators are going to get mixed up from time to time. It doesn't matter. It was the message of God. And it blessed our hearts. We ought to get excited about that. We ought to come with joy and gladness like the angels did. I believe they had confidence as well. Think about that. The Bible says, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And the next verse says, and it came to pass. Everything they said came true. They had a little confidence in their message. Let me ask you, friend, when you're telling others about Christ, do you believe it? Do you believe it to be true? Sometimes we'll leave a gospel tract with somebody, well, you know, the churches really want me to invite people to the Christmas tree. And so, you know, if you want to come, here you go. Do you believe the message? Do you believe that Christ died for your sins? I was sitting with my cousin a year ago while his father was dying. He began to talk about heaven. It was sensitive to him at that moment. And he says, you know, he says, I believe that God loves everybody, even the rotten ones. That's what he said. I said, you know, you're absolutely right. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And I said, but you know, because he loved the world, he sent his son to pay the price for our sins. Well, he says, I just believe that everybody will go to heaven. I said, well, I said, I you know, that'd be a wonderful thing. But I said, the Bible says, again, share. And he said to me after, he goes, you really believe that stuff, don't you? I said, 100%. I said, well, because I believe it, I have absolute assurance I'll go to heaven when I die. That's the wonderful thing about believing, is that you can have assurance. I love that verse in 1 John 5:13. I say it almost every invitation. These things have I written out of them that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. What a wonderful assurance. The songwriter, Fanny Crosby, her friend Phoebe Knapp came in and began to play the piano. And she says, Phoebe, God gave me this tune. She says, what do you hear when I play this tune? And she began to play the music. And Fanny said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. The words just came to her. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have that assurance? I believe these angels came with great confidence. They proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And friend, we need to have that same confidence in Christ today. The world does not want questions. They want answers. The world is not looking for people that are saying, well, we're holding on to this because we think this will get us to heaven. And we think we believe this. And we're just hoping. No, they want a hope that is real, steadfast and sure, an anchor for the soul. But they'll only have it if you have it. Are you sure you're saved today? Are you confident in it? Do you have the assurance that these angels had that this message was true? So we have some emotional thoughts, joy and gladness. I believe some prophetic thoughts as well. Though there is no peace on earth just yet, there will be one day. The Bible says that the lion shall lay down with the lamb when Jesus Christ comes to rule and to reign. What a wonderful day. You know, one of my favorite songs is, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Sing it with me. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. There may be no peace today, friend, but there's peace coming. God has promised it through His Son, Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Let me ask you, how many of you want to be a part of that? How many of you would love? You know, we have all these people that make promises, politicians say, well, we're going to promise you peace on earth. It'll never happen. The Bible says they'll say peace, peace, but there is no peace. Not until Jesus comes. Well, friends, I want to be there on that day. So I'm so thankful that I'm saved today. Then we find some perceptive thoughts. You know, as children of God, we should celebrate the birth of Christ every day. Let me ask you these questions quickly. Do you give glory to God in the highest? Have you reserved your highest praise for Him? Now think about that. Let me say this, actions speak louder than words. Isn't that true? And we come and we sing praises to God and we say praise God for this and praise God for that and glory to God for this and glory to God for that, but are we truly giving Him the glory? You know, God is a jealous God and He will not share His glory with another. But sometimes our actions say, well, we appreciate this more than we really appreciate the Lord. We've allowed this to come between us and God. We've allowed this to keep us from church. A friend of mine in Bible college, his name is Bob Morrison. Bob was just a fantastic guy. And it was kind of a funny thing. He came from Philadelphia. He came from a real rough area on the east side of Philadelphia. And when he came to school, he come riding in on his motorcycle with a leather jacket and all the rest. And we thought, oh boy, we got a tough one here, you know? Turned out he was one of the greatest guys you'd ever want to meet. Loved the Lord. Walked with the Lord. One day came along and I saw that he had a for sale sign on his motorcycle. And I said, brother, I said, you love your motorcycle. I said, every Saturday you're down here tinkering and doing things with it. And I said, you go for a ride. I said, what are you doing selling your motorcycle? He said, I realize it's coming between me and the Lord. He says, Saturday mornings I'm too busy tinkering with it and playing with it. He says, maybe I should get involved in a bus ministry or something on Saturdays. It's taking too much time. So he put it up for sale and it would not sell. I mean, he got to the point where he was just trying to give it away. And he couldn't get rid of it. Just could not get rid of the thing. So finally one day I saw him riding it again. I said, hey Bob, I said, you never able to sell that motorcycle? And he says, no. He says, I was praying about it again. And he says, I came to this realization. God did not want me to sell my motorcycle. He just wanted me to be willing to sell it. He wanted me to prioritize. He wanted me to put Him first in my life again. You know, we all need to come to that realization in a lot of areas, don't we? God is more important than your husband or wife. Did you know that? He deserves more glory, more love. He's more important than your children. Some friends of ours have just been celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. Now, when I say that, people picture them as in a nursing home somewhere. Folks, they're not. If you ever visit Pastor Eagles, he's the guy on the platform every Sunday with Pastor Eagles giving the announcements and doing all kinds of just vibrant people, great people. Celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. And I said, how do you do it, Mr. McKenzie? He says, my wife and I are in a love triangle. He says, my wife, me, and the Lord. And he says, we've learned this over the years in the triangle. He says, the Lord is here and we're here. The closer we get to the Lord, the closer we get to each other. Isn't that a great picture? That's from somebody who's been married 65 years. You don't take it from me. I think that's a great illustration. Are we giving God glory in the highest? Is He first in everything? Listen, friend, if the angels were willing to do it, we should too. If the angels who knew no salvation, they would never understand what it means to be redeemed. I like in Revelation where the Bible says, talks about the saints, they shall sing a new song. It's the song of the redeemed. The angels could not sing it because they know nothing of it. We owe Him far more than we ever give Him, don't we? Let's challenge our hearts today with the Word of God. Let these angels speak to us today. And though we do not worship angels, that would be blasphemy, they are messengers of God and we ought to listen to them. And if they're giving glory to God in the highest, how much more should the people of God? Let's pray. Father, help us to understand Your Word and speak to our hearts. God, may You be number one in our lives. Speak to us, we pray. Father, bless us during this invitation time. We pray that You might receive honor and glory with the decisions that are made. And Lord, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.